Hello and welcome to the Mongolog Podcast. My name is John. I am the sole host of this podcast. For those of you just tuning in, this is a beginner-friendly one-man show. It ranges anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes in length, though recently I've been nearing closer to the 30 minutes, going a couple minutes over some days. But it introduces a new manga series each episode, so this would be like each week. I try to release the episodes on a Friday, and I'm trying to be consistent about that. But I introduce a new series. I try to avoid any serious spoilers. I want to focus on series that are legally available in English and are available in both print and digital formats. That way, you guys, if you have a preference, it's accessible to you, and you don't have to go out of your way to buy like the physical version of something if it's exclusively physical, or you know, vice versa. I pretty much cover any genre or manga belonging to any demographic. Though, looking at all of the manga that I currently own, it seems like a lot are shonen, which is like manga aimed at like teenage boys. And I don't know why, it's just like, it seems like that's the most popular manga, so that's the one that I tend to buy. So I apologize if like a lot of episodes I'm just constantly focusing on shonen. I'm trying to be good about like, you know, mixing things up, but yeah, you'll see a lot of shonen on here. I didn't get to get into this much last week because I didn't have a lot going on, but this week I actually have some shout-outs I would like to give because I've gotten a couple of new followers on Twitter. The first is Ultra Milk Tea. Second is Cassie, and she's at Little Uzi. It's spelled kind of weird, but if you look at my followers on Twitter, you can figure it out. But yeah, that's Cassie at Little Uzi. And then the third new follower I got was at Instant Manga. She actually is, it's pretty cool. I went on her page. She has an Instagram. It's manga_mama. And she just like posts a lot of her, like the manga she purchases. And she's got quite the massive collection. It's pretty impressive. So if you just like looking at manga cover arts or, you know, stuff like that, or you just like are fascinated by, you know, the types of manga people buy, I would recommend checking out her Instagram. She's got a pretty decent following, 900 followers on there, and she's just got like probably like tens or maybe hundreds of images of just like all of the manga that she hauls. It's actually pretty cool, and you know, they're nice pictures. They're like, you know, they're not like shrouded in darkness. You could barely see. Like, some people aren't very good photographers, ironically, because they're on Instagram and they're, you know, it's a photo-based platform. But check her out at Instant Manga. She takes really good photos of all of the manga she collects. My last new follower is Shonen Chumps. They're actually a podcast. They're a bi-weekly podcast. They focus mainly on, I think actually it's exclusively on anime, and it's usually, as the name might imply, shonen anime. They had taken a break for a few. I've actually been listening to them for quite a while. They finally followed me back, which was nice. Though they recently had a break, they did come back with a Battle Angel Alita and episode. It's kind of like talking about the OVA, talking about the live action movie, and then kind of comparing and reviewing the two. Really cool dudes. Three good friends. And they're really funny. And they're actually the quality of the podcast is really great. The audio, and just the humor and stuff, and the discussion that they bring to the table is actually really, really cool. So yeah, I encourage you to check them out, Shonen Chumps. If I'm not gonna put this in the description, but again, if you go to my Twitter, you can look at my followers and see the most recent followers, and the people that I mentioned here. Okay, so this is episode 19, which is on a manga called Hell's Paradise, Jigoku Raku, and it's written and illustrated by Kaku Yuji. I don't know much about this person. I don't even know if it's a woman or a man, but they've had one short series. I think it's like three volumes. It hasn't even been licensed in English. And then also a one-shot, which is like a chapter or two that was published in a magazine or submitted to a competition or something that also hasn't been licensed or, you know, published in English. So they seem relatively new, but this is their newest series, Jigoku Raku. It's currently ongoing. I'll get into it later, but it's considered a historical manga, at least how my anime list describes it, a historical. I would probably add like supernatural and action to the genres. The reason I think it's historical is because this is kind of like, it's Japan in the past. It's like, I think Wikipedia described it, or not Wikipedia, somewhere, I don't know where I took it in my notes, though. It says it takes place 11 years into the Edo period, or the Tokugawa period, Japan. So probably around like 16th century, 1614 exactly, actually. I wrote it down. There it is. So this is a period of time where Japan is under the rule of the shogun, the shogunate, Tokugawa shogunate. It's a relatively like peaceful time. So, like, you saw like factions of like samurai and stuff. I don't know too much about Japanese history, so this is just going off of my notes. Excuse me. So yeah, I would add probably, so it's historical in that sense. So it's, you know, it's real world Japan, but there's a lot of like supernatural stuff going on too. It is licensed, as I mentioned earlier, for English release by Viz, though it's only currently available on the Viz website and then also the Manga Plus app/website, so you can look at either or. The only reason why it's not available on the Shonen Jump app or the Viz app is because of like it's 18 plus material, and I guess Viz is having trouble getting that on their apps because Apple's being stupid, I think. Excuse me, I'm sick. So, and I'm trying to, I almost was wondering if I would be able to record this episode, but I'm trying to be consistent. I'm trying to be a good boy about posting this on Friday. So, yeah, so there are, again, no compiled volumes in English yet, though Japan has like five volumes compiled, I believe. And in the Manga Plus app, or, you know, if you're reading this through the Viz or Shonen Jump website, there's like 50 odd chapters out. I've read like 20, so I'm actually at the start of a new arc, so I ended at a good point. The magazine that's published in, it's actually not a physical magazine. It's published in the Shonen Jump Plus quote-unquote magazine, but it's really a mobile app and website that was originally launched in Japan in 2014. So what it does is, there at least, it sells digital versions of the weekly Shonen Jump magazine simultaneous with the print release, and also sells like full, you know, volume releases digitally. But it also has like a lot of samples of manga that could be read for free, kind of similar to how the Shonen Jump app used to function, where like it would sell Shonen Jump magazines and also like full volume, so on and so forth, and then but it would give you like some chapters to read, so you could preview each manga series that are running in the magazine. Excuse me. But there are also a manga that are serialized exclusively on the app, which Hell's Paradise is one of those manga. And according to the Wikia, it said that the, it says they're also, but unlike Jump, they may be aimed at adults or women. So Jump is known for like the shonen demographic being aimed at teenage boys. The manga published in Shonen Jump Plus, they're able to kind of, since it's published, I guess, I don't know if it's because it's published through an app instead of like a physical, you know, that are accessible to younger kids or something. I don't know. But, they're able to do like more adult material, and kind of like get a little like riskier with the type of content that they have. I think, don't take my word for it, but that's what it seems like. Like Hell's Paradise, I wouldn't imagine running in Shonen Jump ever. There's some nudity, there's lots of gore. So it's a lot different than what you would expect from stuff that runs in the weekly Shonen Jump. But yeah, we at least in America, well, actually worldwide, really, because it's a global, except for China and South Korea, the Manga Plus app just recently launched this year, and it contains the manga that run exclusive in that app, as well as like other, you know, Shonen Jump manga, weekly chapters for free. Excuse me. I feel bad not editing this stuff out. You guys are probably going to hear my coughs and stuff. Really apologize for that. I have limited time, so it's like I can't sit down and edit these as much as I would like. Yeah, so that's enough about the introduction. That was a pretty actually decent length introduction, so I apologize. the story is about this guy Gabimaru. He's known as the Hollow or something like that. He is a ninja. You know, not like Naruto ninja, but he kind of borders on that line, because there were ninja that existed in Japan, you know, in the, earlier than the Edo period. The types of ninja you see depicted nowadays, like they're just kind of, they have like these supernatural abilities. You know, they're kind of like, not glorified, but like kind of exaggerated depictions, kind of like fairy tale depictions of ninja these days. So he's a legit ninja, specializes in like covert operations, assassinations, stuff like that. I guess since, you know, even though ninja preceded the Edo period in the story, they still exist. He's part of this clan of ninja. He's got this reputation for being like this cold, heartless, ruthless killer. That's emotionless, so that's why they call him the Hollow, because he has no feelings, blah, blah, blah. So there's a situation where I think he was going to quit being a ninja, or he had disobeyed orders or defected or something like that. I can't remember exactly what happened, but he's set to be executed on his first crime, so he's on death row in the beginning of the manga. And the only issue with that is that he can't die. So they attempt to like execute him in like a variety of ways that are just kind of played for laughs. And okay, I'm like, so I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, so he's like immortal or something. Like, that's the gimmick. He's like, he can't die. So they keep trying to kill him and he can't die. But it's not like confirmed that he is immortal. It's just rumored that him and people of his clan, or just ninja in general, had drank this elixir of immortality. And that's why he can't die. But it seems like the way the story, like the way he acts in certain situations, like life or death situations, he's playing it very cautious, as if he can die. So I'm not sure. And when they were trying to execute him, all the attempts failed, obviously. That's not much of a spoiler, otherwise we wouldn't have a main character. But all the attempts fail, and I thought, it's like, oh, maybe it's because he's just immortal, like he can't die. But I think they're implying that he's just like, he trained, like the ninja training that he's had is so intense that he has developed techniques to survive a lot of these situations, which kind of seems ridiculous. This story, despite like being very like gory and, you know, it's marked as historical, it's not like grounded in reality whatsoever. Cause like this stuff would just, not be realistic in real life. There's no way you can train to the point where you could like, where you could, I don't know, like be burned at the stake and survive, you know? They kind of give up on, I think, executing him. He ends up bumping in, or no, they, so they hire somebody, I think the shogun hires somebody from this clan called the Yamada clan. They're samurai that basically specialize in the art of decapitation. So there's this woman, Sagiri, who is, hired to execute this ninja, Gabimaru, and they kind of duke it out, and then through their fighting they kind of learn some stuff about each other. Sagiri notices an internal struggle within Gabimaru. It seems like he tries to play it off like he's this hollow dude, this hollow inhuman almost ninja ruthless killer, but he does have a reason for living, and she basically determines that, you know, he's a prime recruit for this mission that the shogun is recruiting criminals for. So she offers him basically a second chance at life. So if he can accomplish this mission that the shogun has made, or that the shogun is recruiting criminals for, then he can be pardoned by for his past crimes. So, of course, he's not the only one, again, being recruited for this mission. He agrees to it. She ends up bringing him to this gathering where the shogun announces what exactly this mission is. And basically, this rumored elixir of life, apparently it's a real thing. It exists on this weird island that not many people try to visit, because anyone who visits the island never returns. Or if they return, they return back dead on a boat, you know, like it's like they're not human, they're not alive anymore. So people try to steer clear of the island, but apparently there's a rumored elixir of life on that island. So the shogun has this, you know, what he thinks is a very clever plot to take all these criminals that are on death row and use them to go to this island with the promise of being pardoned for their crimes if they can find this elixir on this island. So he doesn't really lose much out of it. Though he is assigning, for each criminal that goes on this island, they're assigned a member of the Yamada clan, these samurai, these executioners, and to basically watch them and ensure that they they are not, you know, trying to do anything fishy or run away or something like that. So, and that's basically how the story starts off. So Gabimaru is going to this island with Sagiri, his executioner, and they have to search this island for this elixir. So you, I'm kind of skipping past events, but you get on the island, and it basically becomes like a race to get this elixir, because only one criminal could be pardoned. Whoever finds it first is going to be the criminal that earns the pardon. So it's this competition, and it becomes like sort of like a battle royale. So they're all stuck on this island. Not only is there stuff on the island trying to kill them, but they're also trying to kill each other because they're competition. It's a really cool setup. I love stuff like this. Again, it reminds me very much of like a battle royale type setting, which is huge right now, at least in the video game space. But like, even if you were a fan of like the books of Hunger Games or movies or whatever, I think you'll definitely get a kick out of this. It's a really cool premise. So there's this layer of like, you know, competition, this, you know, this rumored elixir of life. So it's kind of like, you know, it's not totally realistic. But then this island that they're visiting, it's kind of insane. It's unlike anything anyone has ever seen before. It houses creatures that are not even remotely, recognizable. It's an island shrouded in a lot of mystery, and it's full of creepy crawlies and just really strange phenomena. And I'm not going to spoil a lot about the island. I think it's better for you guys to like experience yourself, see what kinds of things they encounter on the island. So they've got that to deal with, and then they've got each other to deal with. And it gets pretty intense. The chapters are very fast moving. A lot of the chapters end in cliffhanger, especially the earlier ones. It's pretty intense. A lot of the themes, like you have these hardened criminals. It reminds me of like Dead Man Wonderland, if you guys have ever watched the anime for that or read it. You've got these criminals, they just have no remorse. They don't care about each other. They don't care about their executioners. They're just out for their own selfish gain, really. And, there's a little more nuance to Gabimaru and what's her name, Sagiri. You get a lot of themes of like, you know, they're trying to overcome their emotions because emotions result in weakness, and you see this a lot. But these main characters, they struggle with this. They struggle with kind of detaching their emotions from their job, and you know, Gabimaru, he doesn't exactly like killing. He just does it because that's what he does, And he, you know, as much as he likes to, as much as he tries to shed that human element about himself, he knows that he can't. And Sagiri sees this in him. And these characters kind of like, they help each other out a lot. Like, not like in a physical sense where like they're protecting each other, but also like from a mental perspective, they're a great influence on each other. So, you know, you've got Gabimaru struggling with this aspect of himself, but then you also have Sagiri, who, you know, she is a trained executioner, but her resolve wavers a lot when she's, you know, put to the test. And she's clearly, like, really skilled. She just has this emotional turmoil, and she struggles with just being this cold, you know, just, like, behead the criminal and be done with it. She's, you know, she's got a lot of emotions. But, you know, so the manga presents this as a theme, like, emotions that equals weakness. But, you know, it kind of has a more positive spin on it, too, where it also, emotions are what make you human. That's also what makes you strong. So it's interesting. And then you also have a lot of themes of, like, overcoming the sins of your past and stuff like that. It's a little more nuanced than I was expecting. I mean, granted, a lot of it is just, like, action, just fast-moving action. and, you know, lots of blood and gore all over the page. Lots of blood all over the page. It's kind of crazy. but I guess since I'm talking about, like, the art on the page and everything, we could just talk more about the art. So there are a crap ton of characters. I actually had a hard time keeping track of them chapter to chapter, but they're really, really, there are some really good character designs in this manga. Because you would think with all these characters, like, you know, when you read manga, you can kind of tell, or like watch anime, if the character has like a really generic design, chances are they're unimportant to the story or they're just going to die. And for this manga, it's hard to tell because all of the characters, it seems like they're all given like an equal amount of detail and attention. So you've got these like these criminals that are like, they're like scarred up or deformed in some ways, like some of their body proportions are exaggerated or their faces are messed up. Some of the criminals are like these hulking like monstrosities that you encounter in the story. And it's like the author, there's just like a mixture of body types, a mixture of like how they fight too, like the attention, like and when they're in battle. No one really looks like an extra. Like, they don't look like a background, like an extra or like a filler character. It seems like the artist put a lot of work into all of the characters. Even if they mean to kill them off quick, they still get that attention to detail, which is pretty cool. So it kind of adds this tension where it's like, okay, characters clearly are going to die. And apparently no one's safe. Even if they look really cool, they're probably not safe. I really appreciate that level of detail. But it's not only in the human characters, but you also get a lot of, like, again, this island, it's really strange. I don't want to spoil it, but you get a lot of creepy, like, just original designs for some of the creatures that they encounter on this island. It kind of feels like a horror manga, but it's not, it's disturbing, but it's not scary. It's like eerie, kind of. But it wouldn't be enough for me to put, like, the horror tag on this, I don't think. I guess just to give you guys an example, I mean, it's not much of a spoiler, but like one instance of a creature that they encounter, it looks like a giant fish with like the head facing up. It has six arms coming out of its side. It's standing on these two legs that are kind of like scaly. And then it has these five tails that are like spiky, and it attacks with its tails and its arms. It's really strange. And like the arms have like prayer beads on them. It has a lot of like religious imagery, but it's like a mashup of like multiple religions. And it just like it adheres to like no rules. It's really strange. What else? And I did mention that, yeah, there's a lot of characters. They all have a very high amount of detail in their designs and stuff like that. I guess getting into like a little bit of the writing. So again, with all these characters, it's kind of tough to follow them. So if you're the type that needs, you know, if you expect this to be kind of a light read, you have to pay a little bit of a closer attention just to like kind of follow what's going on a little bit. It's not like to the point where it's like it's incomprehensible, but if you know, it's not something you just blaze through, because then you're just like, well, we're, you know, they'll start off the chapter with like a new group, like an executioner and his or her respective criminal and what they're doing on the island. And then it'll bounce back to our main crew, Gabimaru and Sagiri. But, you know, it's a lot of bouncing back and forth. So it's kind of, it might be hard if you are the type that just like kind of likes to just lay back in bed and just kind of glaze through the chapters. It can be a little difficult to follow. I have like not a ton of criticisms for this. I'm trying to think of anything I should bring up that you guys might want to know. Actually, okay. So there's one thing that I did point out in my notes. Sagiri, you know, this artist does draw like women, and both men and women, you know, attractive. The men kind of look all like, some of them look really, really strange, especially the criminals. But like, you know, you have your samurai, they're all dressed in like robes, but like each of them have a distinct style about them, their face, their hair. And like conventionally, I think a lot of the samurai, they're, you know, very attractive. And, you know, the samurai woman, Sagiri, she is also very attractive. And it's like the manga creator knows this. He knows that the readers know this. There's a little bit of a fan service here. And it's not meant to, like, it feels like it's not meant to, like, titillate. But it the way it's framed, it kind of does. Like, so I mentioned that Sagiri and Gabimaru, they both have, like, this internal emotional turmoil. And the way the author depicts this, like, artistically is, you know, it shows her, there are scenes where she's trying to portray this emotional turmoil or like this fear that she has, but it's portrayed in a way where she's like, she's naked on the page and like she's being taken advantage of by like these shadowy arms and hands that are kind of like wrapping around her. And, you know, of course it's got like this artistic flair kind of covering her up. So it's like, and it's all dark and blotted and it looks like, you know, you're inside her head. And I think it's supposed to give off the sense of like vulnerability in her and everything, but it just seems kind of a little too much. So, you know, it's not exactly something you want somebody looking over your shoulder and seeing. It's a little uncomfortable. And I think it's meant to be that way, but it just feels a little unnecessary. But I feel like there's the only negative thing that I really should point out, you know, in case you guys, you know, so you guys don't expect anything. There are some like, again, this is 1614 Japan. there are some, I guess, like, stuff that probably doesn't fly too well nowadays, considering, like, women and their role in this Japanese society, specifically targeted towards Segiri. One of the chapters that I'm in, one of the other samurai mentioned that Segiri's not fit for this job. She's a woman. She should be bearing children. Very, you know, just, like, very old ideas of, like, you know, the roles men and women are supposed to have. And again, but I don't fault it too much for that, because this is, you know, this is the time period that they're living in. And then, and to the author's credit, they do go back on this, like, they kind of flip this in the following pages. So it's not a huge idea, but again, I figure that's something I should bring up. Yeah, so I'm just trying to go through my notes. You know what? I think I went pretty long on this. I think I covered this rather well. One thing I really am enjoying is this island and, like, the mystery behind it. Maybe you could actually add a mystery tag to this genre as well, to the list of genres that this goes through, because you're not sure exactly what's going on with this island, how it came to be, whether this exists, elixir actually exists or not. I mean, you get, I don't want to actually spoil anything, but you do get some knowledge revealed to you later around the parts where I'm at, actually. But yeah, I just, I love stuff like this. I love stuff, especially when it has, like, a supernatural twist to it. It's very interesting. And, you know, so you have this main goal to get to, you know, find this elixir, but then you also are encountering all this weird stuff going. So that's pretty cool. Now, what was I going to do? Oh, okay. So I think that's it. I would normally give a, like, parting gift, like, a, you know, just, like, a weekly recommendation. But again, this episode's going pretty long, so I try to save those for the times, I guess, where I did, you know, the manga, or the episode's running rather short. So, yeah, so, okay, next week, again, that was Hell's Paradise Jigokuraku. You can read it for free in its entirety and keep up with it week to week in the Manga Plus app or the Manga Plus website. Next week, I'm going to be covering a series called We Never Learn. It's actually getting an anime adaptation, I think, this year, or next season, actually, on the spring. It's written and illustrated by Taishi Tsutsui? Tsutsui? I think I pronounced that right. So Taishi Tsutsui, they are publishing this manga inside Weekly Shonen Jump. Or Shonen Jump magazine. So you can read this in its entirety. It's still ongoing, but you can read this in the Shonen Jump app, especially if you're a member, you have access to that back catalog of chapters. But the volumes are also being compiled. I think there's, like, 4 compiled volumes out right now, so you can purchase the volumes if that's easier for you. But yeah, that's going to be next week's episode, We Never Learn. Thank you guys for sitting through this. Apologies for the audio quality if you hear, like, my coughing or, in, you know, my stuffiness and all that stuff in the background. I apologize for that. But yeah, again, thanks for the new followers and everything. Appreciate it. I checked the statistics in Anchor, and I'm seeing just my listenership going up month to month, which is awesome to see. So I really appreciate it, guys. Okay, that will do it. I will see you guys next week. Thanks. Bye.